Welcome, everybody, to Offbeat Tracks.
Oh, my goodness.
143? I think, I don't know, I've won so many Academy Awards, I can't count anymore. I'm Liza Minnelli.
Oh, Liza, what have you done with Danielle?
Well, I beat her like I beat my ex-husband, David Guest. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Allegedly. There we go. I cleared us legally.
Thank you for checking in with our legal department.
Liza will never listen to this.
Hello, welcome to episode 143 and lawsuit who knows what number of Offbeat
Liza
Tracks.
Liza Minnelli doesn't even know what a podcast is. It's fine.
But she probably is litigious.
Well,
I'm just guessing.
Probably. Well, she'll just... It's cool.
Should just sit and do this episode. No,
I
really want to do this episode. So why don't you explain what we're talking about today? Because until you brought this up to me last week, I did not even know this existed.
Oh my God. So Liza Minnelli is great, by the way. So when she sues us, just let you know that I love you, Liza Minnelli, and I think you're fantastic. All you wear is pantyhose. You live a completely pants-free existence.
That's very true.
And she has since like 1970.
It's true.
You cannot fault this woman. She's a revolutionary. So Liza Minnelli decided to make a pop album in the late 80s. And by chance... got in with the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah.
Because apparently their manager was just hanging around Epic Records one day, and they were like, Liza Minnelli wants to make a pop album. That's weird. And he's like, oh, I got these guys over here. They can do it.
There you go.
And of course, it's like, you know, Pet Shop Boys. So they're excited to work for for Liza Minnelli. Because
right.
What gay men would not be excited to work for Liza Minnelli?
They were probably doing cartwheels. So, yeah,
They literally did get excited. They were like, Neil Tennant was like, I love Liza Minnelli.
Which, of course, I read that
and I was like, oh, really?
Yeah,
no one saw that one coming.
So, Liza hadn't done a pop album in 12 years.
Yeah.
Her last one was 1977's Tropical Nights. And she had, I guess, just gotten this record deal with Epic because she was, like, doing cast albums and cast recordings, like Broadway albums and stuff like that.
That's her bread and butter.
And so, yeah, like you said, I guess she just wanted to do a pop album.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I understand how this worked, basically the Pet Shop Boys put together the entire, like, musical part of the album and wrote everything and laid down all the music. And then when she was in London touring... for like a month or two, she would come during the day when she wasn't performing and working at night, which I assume by touring, I think she was like in a theatrical production in London.
Like cabaret stuff.
Right.
The stuff she does now.
During the day when she wasn't doing performances, she would come cut these songs. So that's what was going on in March and April of 1989.
And apparently it like freaked her out that like they had music already done. I guess she had already done, she'd only like recorded like kind of like live stuff in a studio where like everything kind of gets recorded at once.
Scratch tracks and stuff. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
And she was totally weirded out that she like came in there and she was like, let's make music. And they're like, well, we already made the music. You should just sing, I guess.
What does that little computer thing do?
Oh, no.
Like, what did she think somebody had to sit? Okay. Anyway, we're not going to get into what Liza Minnelli's vision of how a recording studio worked was.
We're doing this out of love because the one thing I love about Liza Minnelli is she is one of the true, like, one of those Broadway people who became famous because musicals were big back then. And she's just so completely Fosse in every way. And she's so dramatic. And she is a picture of that era that you don't get anymore that's so easily make funnable, but you like it.
It's very true.
And that's why I'm doing this because we don't get this a lot anymore. Especially with synth pop.
So no, we're gonna do we it. Definitely don't. And this may be like history's one like Broadway dance pop crossover. other than maybe I Am What I Am from La Casual Fall.
This album is called Results. And one thing I really love about this album, and I think one reason why it works, is a long time ago, I always had an idea that, like, the Pet Shop Boys should do, like, one of those jukebox musicals. Because I think the discography of the Pet Shop Boys and their songs are Broadway songs. They're musical songs. They have little stories. They have drama. They have movements. So I think it's great that they get Liza Minnelli in there because she's the perfect singer for this kind of a thing.
Yes.
And that's why I think it works so well. I'm not sure it would work with anyone else, but that's why I think this is so good.
So, yeah, let's talk about the songs here. We're going to begin with the singles from this album, the first one of which came out in August of 1989, and it was called Losing My Mind.
And, of course, it's a cover of a Broadway song.
Yep.
From Follies.
From Follies, which was from 1971. And this was a number 6 hit in the UK. It was a huge hit.
It was big in Europe. Not so big here.
No.
But they tried so hard.
They did. And it charted on the US dance charts.
Yeah. It had its place where you think it has its place. But they tried really hard to promote. There was a lot of promotion in America for this, and it just did not work.
Which is weird, like, because that. Americans loved Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, but and they also, but they I also think that didn't
this
love.
Was this not kind of in a lull for Broadway though? I feel like theater was like, if you go back and watch old episodes of like What's My Line, right? 50s and 60s, yes. Mm-hmm. Broadway was huge. Like it was a thing. Like, oh my God, the theater. But I feel like there was this lull, and like now Broadway is really, really cool again, and you know, people love stuff like Hamilton, and people talk about it, and it's kind of permeates back into pop culture. But like when we were kids, the only like Broadway musical I ever remember hearing about when I was a kid was Rent. I never remember hearing about any.
That was, I think, the first big 90s one that permeated in ways. And I think that's also one reason why, like, if you look, like, you know, things like Cats,
yep.
Phantom of the Opera,
yep.
All that stuff was late 70s, early 80s, Les
right.
Mis.
Right.
But those were still the biggest things. That's why they were,
exactly.
Like, Cats was the number one forever.
Exactly. Because, you're right. Because
also,
when we were kids, you would hear about those still.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
I think that's kind of what it was, too.
So maybe we were in kind of a weird Broadway slump where Americans just kind of didn't care about it.
Yeah, and Liza, you know, Liza Minnelli at that point is just, I don't know if anybody really cared. I don't know. I don't know what she was fame-wise back then. I can't tell.
It is kind of hard to tell because, you know, we were
teeny small children. I certainly didn't know who she was.
So Losing My Mind, though, actually is a pretty good song. Her version of it is good. And I also want to note, by the way, the Pet Shop Boys did record a version of this, probably as like, I'm guessing that they cut a version of it to give to her and be like, hey, this is what your album's going to sound like. And she was like, oh, that's great. And so they released their version as a B-side to Jealousy 2 years later.
Yeah, apparently they perform this a lot.
Their single live. Jealousy from 1991, it's the B-side to that, so you can hear their version too. But the version they did with Liza is great.
It's great. And what I love about her too is a lot of, you know, non-real pop artists, whenever they do pop stuff like this, they don't sing and sound like themselves. Liza Minnelli cannot help that. Liza Minnelli's going to sing like she sings it.
Yep.
And one thing that I think is great too is that I always picture Liza singing like this. And one of the things she noted about how challenging it was to do this album is because, like, Neil Tennant would, like, not let her, like, get away with stuff. He was like, no, you need to sing it lower. So he was, like, encouraging her to go that lower kind of a thing.
Wow.
Which is what I associate Liza Minnelli with. But she had never really done that before then. So this is kind of, like, in a way, defining the way I think she kind of sounds. Because that she was complaining about it. She was like, I'd never sung that low before. And I would try to be like, let's do it up here where it's normal. And he's like, nope. This is where the song is. You sing it like that. You can. You do it. And she ended up doing it that way. And I think it's great here.
Interesting.
And the line that always gets in my head is, the coffee cup, I think about you. How great is that? How great is that? So great. All afternoon doing every little chore. The thought of you stays bright. Sometimes I stand in the middle of the floor. Not going left. Not going right. I dim the lights and think about you. Spend sleepless nights to think about you. You said you loved me, or were you just being kind? Or am I losing my mind? Anyways, now I have a song that's not about war, even though it sounds it.
Yes.
Don't Drop Bombs.
Don't Drop Bombs. Which is actually a very tight song.
It's actually, I really liked it.
The album, I just want to point out, by the way, album came out with September of 89.
Mm-hmm. September 12th of 1989.
And this was the second single, which came out in October. So they were still, they coasted on Losing My Mind for a couple of months, and then they put out Don't Drop Bombs.
Yes, I really liked it. I don't know if it's like too corny and I shouldn't like it. It's very corny to me. And I can't tell if it's just Liza making it corny, but it's such a good Pet Shop Boys sounding song.
I mean, it's really hard to take her seriously ever. I mean, it just is.
Yes.
I will say, though, also, great music video. Excellent music video.
It is really good music video. Also, I didn't point this out last time. She looks great in this era.
Oh, hell yes.
She looks so good. Like, she doesn't look as old as she is. Here, she's like 42, 43, I think.
Wow.
Like 43, 44.
Yeah, no, she looks awesome.
She looks amazing. I think you kind of associate her with, like, too much plastic surgery now. And I don't think she had any back then. And she looked amazing. She really is just naturally gorgeous.
She very much is. This song was not a big hit anywhere.
No.
It didn't even crack top 40 in the UK, which
is
kind of surprising to me.
I kind of get that too, but I think there was a lot of stuff that sounded a little bit like this that just did it better. So I think it needed to stand out of the crowd a little bit, and it didn't. Your other girls on your expense account, I know you carry on behind my back with your secretary. You'll have a heart attack. Don't you corrupt
So sorry I said.
So sorry I said. I don't care for this at all.
No, I think this is pretty obviously value. Well, nobody cared for it. Didn't even this did worse on the charts than Don't Drop Bombs. I think this is pretty clearly the Pet Shop Boys trying to write a Broadway song.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I heard this, I assumed, I was like, oh, this is one of the Broadway covers. Nope.
This is one of Liza's favorite from the album.
Neil and Chris wrote, well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Neil and Chris wrote this, and it's like, I think they were just trying to write a Broadway song for her.
I get that.
And it's just, I don't know, it kind of just comes out sounding like something that would have been in the background on one of the hotels in The Fifth Element or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just very, just, I mean, that cheesy bossa nova.
It certainly shouldn't have been
BioShock
a single.
BioShock, kind
of. Certainly shouldn't have been a single. I understand it as an album cut. But yeah, it's, I don't,
yeah, I agree.
I feel nothing.
Like,
from
what
this.
What radio would have played this?
I don't know. If this is a ghetto, I'm in it with you. If it's just a prison, I'm locked in it too. I tried to leave you, but after all that we had said, I went to pieces. Should have shouted and screamed instead. So sorry, I said.
There was one more single released from this album in April of 1990, and it actually did better than either of the last two.
Because it rules.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, Love Pain's an Yvonne Elliman song.
Yes.
A little disco song, and redid it. It's
Yvonne
good.
Elliman is wonderful. And her, she's fantastic. Yvonne Elliman's version of this song is fantastic.
Also, she's another very dramatic singer.
She is very dramatic, you're right.
It's like, everything just sounds like she's crying.
All the time. So, yeah, actually, you're right. Perfect, like, perfect fit.
I think it really works well. It's just basically Pet Shop Boys covering a song and then having another dramatic singer on it.
Right.
And it's
very
so good.
Yvonne Elliman's version of this is fantastic, and definitely go look up her version of Love Pains. But Liza's version is very Stock Aitken Waterman. It's very like something that Kylie Minogue probably would have been doing in 1990.
Yes, and I think that's why it works so well, because it's just very good.
So we're going to talk about some of these album cuts now, and including this, which is the very first song on the album. It's called I Want You Now. Dude, this song's tight as hell.
This is 90s Europop before 90s Europop.
Yeah.
Like, this to me is, it's very ahead of its time.
It was ahead of its time. I completely agree with you.
Yes. And I was very surprised about it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was not expecting to hear this. Yeah, and I was like, okay,
really
wait a minute.
Like,
this is actually like a really tight little breakbeat they got going on here. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. This was to me the most.
A plane is flying over us. Like, what is that noise?
No, it was the biggest surprise on the album for me. I did not expect to hear that. If There Was Love, also very same.
Yes.
This is very 90s Europop. It's like, it's not as high energy.
No, this is more like Garage House.
Yes,
and,
but it's, I didn't expect this.
And a very interesting note on this one. This is one of the cool instances where you get a writer credit on a pop album for William Shakespeare. Because, so if you look at the written by credits, it says the Pet Shop Boys and William Shakespeare. Because the bridge of this is just Liza reciting Shakespeare's Sonnet 94.
Who gets the royalties from that?
Good question.
How does that work?
Good question.
I'd really like to look that up. That's going to be an FBI investigation. If you quote a William Shakespeare, is there some sort of, I don't know. I'm going to look that up. Anyway, I'm going to think about it for the next week. Individual freedom, intrinsically curved, inspired. Well, did you see this one coming?
On today's episode of covers I didn't know existed.
And didn't know needed to exist.
Yep.
We have a little twist in my sobriety.
Yes, the cover of the Tanita Takaram, Twist in My Sobriety.
For someone who's had a lot of twists in her sobriety, not sure she needed to sing a song named this. I love Liza, but we need self-awareness here.
Tanita Takaram's Twist in My Sobriety, the original, is one of my absolute favorite college radio songs of this era. I think it is just like an iconic, like, indie song.
I get it. I don't hate it, but I've never loved it.
I love that. I love her performance on it. And so this cover is just a very interesting choice. I went and looked up. I did not realize how many times Twist in My Sobriety has been covered. Uh-huh. It has been covered a bunch. I only ever knew Tanita Takaram's version. So
yeah, I never knew any others than that.
And very strange. Then here's Liza. Yeah, Liza's version's fine. Nothing is ever going to be the original, but Liza's is pretty good.
I think one thing good about the Pet Shop Boys here is that they change it enough. You know, they kind of put their own spin on it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if they would have just really just done the song and then had Liza sing over it, it would have been terrible. It would have just been like, why are you doing this? And it kind of sounds like a different song, which I like.
But yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah, the original's better, and I already said, I don't really love the original, so take that one. I really enjoy this.
We've got a couple of Pet Shop Boys covers here.
Yes, this is the...
They just kind of gave her their own songs that they had released over the last few years.
Well, apparently Liza, when she was planning to do this album, really loved this song. And so I guess they let her cover it. But what I really love about it is that earlier you've got like Liza kind of taking an old staple, like Losing My Mind, and making it into a synth pop song. So then you take a Pet Shop Boys synth pop song and you make it sound like a standard.
Right. It's a freaking torch song.
I don't know if I love it. It's not really my thing. I prefer the original, but I respect the hell out of it.
Yes, I respect the artistry.
I think it has value.
Yes,
you know?
I agree with you completely.
Yeah,
yes.
Like as what would normally, in most circumstances, be something she did not need to do, I think she did it in a way where I'm glad she did it.
Yeah, I think cool. In this instance, it makes perfect sense.
I think it's a very good twist.
Yeah, I agree.
And look at the two of us in sympathy with everything we see. Never want anything, it's easy. Buy whatever I need, but look at my hopes, look at my dreams. The currency we've spent, I love you, you pay my rent.
And then this is just another one of those that she did. Their song Tonight Is Forever. Same thing.
Taking
a very upbeat song and making it a Broadway torch song.
And I really loved it again. And I did not expect to love these. I loved it.
Tonight is forever. Tell me now you don't disagree. Tonight is forever. Tonight is the first night.
And then finally, there's the album closer, I Can't Say Goodnight.
She can't. No.
You know what this felt like to me?
What'd it feel like?
This felt like the stuff that Madonna did for the Dick Tracy soundtrack, except just more electronic.
Ooh, I get that.
It has that same
like
kind
it.
Of same kind of vibe.
I like it. About the same time, too.
Yeah. Preceded it by 1 year, yes. Okay, but That's just sort of, that was the vibe I got from this song.
I really like it. I mean, it's, for an album cut, I think one thing to be very excited about on this album is that there's no real terrible album cut, and you think there would be. You would think that most of them would be terrible album cuts, and there's not. Like, this song isn't great. You don't release it as a single, but it's not terrible.
No,
like, it all has value.
No, that's what was surprising to me, I think, the most, is that this is actually a very solid album.
It really is. Like, from front to back, there's no real song where I'm just like, you know, even songs, even albums I love from this era, there's at least one album cut where I'm like, girl, you didn't have to. But really, I find value in every single one of these songs, including this one, which might be not even my favorite, but it's very good.
Yeah.
I love it. It's such, so good.
So yeah, I think we kind of gave our concluding thoughts there, but this is just a very interesting, like, pop music experiment almost.
Exactly.
And I can't believe I didn't know this existed, so I'm so glad that you told me about it.
I never knew there was a whole album. Like a real full album. Also,
oh, I see. So you had heard some of the singles before?
Yeah, I'd heard Losing My Mind.
I see.
And like, I knew she worked them on a couple of songs, but I never knew there was just like a full on album. I just thought it was just like a quick, you know, EP or something.
Sure.
Nope. She did it. Also, fun to note, much like last week's artist, is family with someone in Grease 2.
Oh.
Is Lorna Luft.
You're right.
This is the Grease 2 set of episodes.
We did not plan that.
No, we did not.
good old Trisha Lee Fisher and Liza.
But I
and
do
Grease,
love...
And their greasy two relatives.
It's very greasy. Very. Also, the name of this album, Results, did you see how they came up with the name?
No.
Well, apparently... I'm going to quote from the Wikipedia page because it's perfect as it's written.
Okay.
The album title was chosen at Minnelli's request by the Pet Shop Boys after they heard an offhand comment by their friend Janet Street Porter regarding some of her clothes. Quote, I call it my results wear because when I wear them, I get results. I always get results. Sorry.
Janet Street Porter?
Yeah, she's apparently some presenter in the UK
that
people know.
That is a great name.
Street-Porter.
Oh, man.
Like, somebody was named Street, and then they...
I see.
Yeah, that's how they hyphenate their stuff. Yeah, she apparently was on...
It's true.
A show I've never watched.
I listen to the BBC radio often when I'm driving home from work, because it's, you know, it's like 5 a.m. there, and they're already on the air. Every anchor has three names. It's true.
Yes. Yeah, she's also a panelist on Loose Women, which is a show I've always wanted to watch, and I hear about all the time. I guess it's their view, but I just love the name Loose Women.
Yes.
Because they're loose with their opinions. You know us females.
Right on. Well, if you have opinions on Janet Street Porter or Liza Minnelli or the Pet Shop Boys...
Or you want to tell us what your results wear is.
Yes. you can hit up our Twitter, which is @OffbeatTracks.
Yes, and we also have a webpage that has all of our episodes on it, so you can go back and listen to any episode ever. It is offbeattrackscast.com.
Indeed, and we will be back in a couple weeks. So until then, I'm Max.
I'm Danielle.
See ya.